Automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods. You're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And with us this morning, as every Friday at this time, Andrew Skousen, to bring us up to date on his dad's world affairs brief. Andrew, good morning, and you pick up the story from there.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much. Well, the first story this week is about, will Putin invade eastern Ukraine? Acting Interior Minister for Ukraine, Arsen Avakov, said Wednesday that the recent uprisings by ethnic Russians in Ukraine's eastern region demanding independence would be resolved one way or the other within 48 hours, either by negotiations or police confrontation. That means we should see some kind of development today. Ukraine's government used police force earlier this week to arrest one set of protesters who occupied a government building, and predictably this caused more protests demanding their release. If Ukraine uses force on the other two cities where rebels are well-armed, there may be bloodshed, and it could be the excuse Putin has been waiting for to add eastern Ukraine to his conquest. If he's smart, Putin will do this by continuing to dress up professionals as local militias, as he did in Crimea, and let them create the image of a local civilian crisis to avoid the appearance of a direct invasion. If he does invade, it would blow his non-threatening cover before he's ready for war and force the West to react possibly militarily, which they aren't financially prepared to do. Armed pro-Russian protesters in the city of Luhansk rejected Kiev's offer of amnesty for those who seized government buildings earlier this week. The protesters are trying to play the democracy card, saying they will only lay down their weapons if Ukraine agrees to a referendum vote on independence from eastern Ukraine, which the pro-Russian side would surely win. The UK Telegraph summarized it well. Quote, Russia was accused of attempting to repeat the Crimea scenario in eastern Ukraine Monday after pro-Moscow activists barricaded seized government buildings and in one city proclaimed a referendum on breaking ties with Kiev. Activists seized control of public buildings in Donetsk, Kharkiv, and Luhansk on Sunday night, and issued calls yesterday for Russian support for their uprising against the pro-Western government. In a statement, the Donetsk separatists said a referendum on independence would be held on May 11th, a date they said had been coordinated with other groups in the Kharkiv and Luhansk regions. All of these tactics are designed to put a more humanitarian tilt to Putin's stealthy move, Joel says, and avoid the need for an open invasion, though that is still an option. Continuing the Telegraph quote, Ukrainian NATO officials warned that large, well-prepared bodies of Russian troops were standing by close to the Ukrainian border in a clear threat to intervene on behalf of the demonstrators. Alexander Turchynov, Ukraine's acting president, said in a televised address that Russia was seeking to repeat the, quote, Crimea scenario, end quote, and promised that, quote, anti-terrorist measures, end quote, would be deployed against any armed revolt, end quote. Joel says, we should know today if any of those threats materialize. In any case, we have finally got a semblance of confirmation about the wild claims of Russia's massing of troops on the eastern border. As I predicted, he says, the 100,000 number being paraded about was overreaching. Nevertheless, what has been confirmed is that the latest troop movements are combat formations. Here's the Associated Press. Quote, speaking at the end of a NATO conference in Paris, U.S. NATO General Breedlove told the Associated Press the Russian armed presence near Ukraine's frontier continues unabated. The general staff provided the Associated Press with a set of commercial satellite photographs they said showed Russian warplanes, combat helicopters, armor, artillery, and probable airborne or special forces brigade deployed in locations east of the Ukraine-Russian border, including along the coastline of the Sea of Azov. Anthony Kordsman, a defense analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, reviewed the satellite images and said the forces depicted appear to be in combat readiness. but he said it's unclear from the images how much of a buildup of Russian forces there has been in the border area. Joel inserts, because the images did not show any proximity to the border. This could also mean that the images were taken somewhere else and falsely attributed to the Ukraine border. Continuing the quote from the Associated Press, the commercial provider of the photographs, Digital Globe, said they were taken in late March. Joel says, the U.S. won't show classified military satellite images to keep U.S. capabilities secret, as if the Russians don't know already. Continuing the quote, what we see there is a force of about 40,000, Breedlove said. I would characterize it as a combined arms army. In other words, this is an army that has all of the provisioning and enablers that it needs to accomplish military objectives if given them. The Russians' assets include fixed and rotary wing aircraft, artillery, field hospitals, communications, and jamming gear, he said. Kremlin objectives remain unclear. The NATO commander said the forces could stand pat and intimidate Ukraine solely by its presence, end quote. Joel says, very true. While the Ukraine government and Secretary of State Kerry fume and threaten that this is unacceptable, they have made few military moves to deter it, which confirms my suspicion that no big war is anticipated right now. The U.S., on their part, is moving some F-16s into a base in Romania as a token show of force, but they won't be able to do anything unless there's a real invasion. You can't use F-16s against protesters, though they are capable of hampering armored columns and troop formations if it comes to that. But I'm still betting it won't. The U.S. is still only talking stronger sanctions against Russia if she invades, and we know how, quote-unquote, tough the first group of sanctions were, which are considered a joke in Russia. The second round of sanctions may be about economic and financial trade, and that will hurt the EU as much as Russia. Of course, there's no talk of military consequences, and no NATO or U.S. forces anywhere nearby to make good on any implied military options. Although the U.S. NATO commander did mention the possibility of U.S. troops becoming involved. As the Associated Press article noted, quote, NATO's top military commander in Europe, U.S. Air Force General Philip Breedlove, drafting countermoves to the Russian military threat against Ukraine, said Wednesday they could include deployment of American troops to alliance member states in Eastern Europe, now feeling at risk, end quote. Joel says, don't hold your breath. His commitments are so tentative and iffy as to make them dismissible. This is mere posturing for the sake of nervous allies near the front line. One look at the dismal state of U.S. and NATO preparedness in the region shows how unprepared they are to take on a formidable first world military like Russia. Der Spiegel of Germany put on the definitive assessment this week, came to the conclusion that NATO is woefully unprepared for war with Russia. That's the way it always is with the West before a world war.
Hold on, Andrew, we'll be back in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, war is coming. Not a matter of if, when. We'll be back in a few minutes here with Andrew Scott. Here.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Centus, the uniformed people in Greeley are saluting the police, firefighters, paramedics, and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our community. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a great place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message is from Centus, the uniformed people in Greeley. They can be reached at 352-2233. That's 352-2233. On the air because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America, Centus.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592, just like that.
the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and suddenly I believe everything over there in the Ukrainian area is being stage managed, probably by both governments. Whether anything is going to come of it, we're going to have to wait and see. But remember, the major goal of American foreign policy is world government. That's why we went into World War I. That's why we went into World War II and financed the Nazis all during the war so we could have a terrible and bloody war so we could get the United Nations and world government. And when that failed, World War III became inevitable. Whether this is simply an incident along the way, what else is going to happen in that area of the world, we don't know. But Joel believes, and I do as well, that sooner or later, going to be a major war in that region. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, this is a quote from Der Spiegel of Germany talking about the preparedness level of NATO. Like the U.S., NATO has been duped into thinking the only future threats are unconventional warfare against terrorists. Quote, once the Cold War ended, Joel inserts, an illusion created by the phony fall of the Soviet Union, Western militaries reduced their focus on military deterrence in Europe. As a consequence, the Ukraine crisis has caught NATO flat-footed as it rushes to find an adequate response to Russia. Germany has been reluctant to go along. The alliance's cooperation with Russia, which took years to build up, Joel says, one of the purposes of faking communism's demise, has been on ice since last week, and Moscow is no longer seen as a partner, but as an adversary. The logical next step is clear. How does military deterrence function in the year 2014? It's a term that hasn't been heard in Western Europe for some time. Prior to the fall of communism and the disintegration of the Warsaw Pact, deterrence was based on the destructive potential of atomic weapons, hundreds of thousands of soldiers posted in Europe, heavy weaponry and tanks. The West German Army alone had some 495,000 troops, 4,100 Leopard battle tanks, and 600 warplanes. The soldiers were the core of an Allied defensive force defending the border between the two power blocks, a frontier that ran right through Germany. Since then, Germany's defense budget has shrunk from 3% of gross social product to just 1.2%. The country's army, the Bundeswehr, now has 185,000 soldiers, a number that is set to fall even further, and is focused less on defending Germany than it is on participating in select foreign missions. Instead of tanks and howitzers stationed at the Fulda Gap, the emphasis is now on paratroopers and helicopters for places like Kosovo, Afghanistan, or Africa. The number of warplanes possessed by Germany's military has been more than halved since the fall of communism. Hundreds of battle tanks were either mothballed or sold off, Joel says. And anybody in Europe who wants to face that the Soviet Union is... Oh, and nobody in Europe wants to face the fact that the Soviet Union is coming back. The cost to rearm and prepare for what's coming is enormous, at a time when the EU, like the U.S., is close to bankruptcy. Both nations traded guns for butter and allowed their welfare states, the butter, to grow until public demand will no longer allow them to shrink. Continuing the Der Spiegel, quote, the new debate within NATO is no doubt music to the ears of aging Cold Warriors who have always felt that integrating Moscow into alliance structures was dangerously naive. Joel inserts, quote-unquote aging Cold Warriors is the modern pejorative for those who should now be celebrated as correct. Continuing the quote. But it is also the logical consequence of a reconsideration of Russian President Vladimir Putin's long-term goals. If Russia is now planning its future against the West rather than with the West, then the question regarding a quote-unquote modern deterrence must be posed, Joel says. One wonders why they still talk in terms of if. Continuing the quote. Prior to the Ukraine crisis, there were many asking what purpose NATO would serve once the alliance's troops had withdrawn from Afghanistan. But now that Putin has taken over the Crimea, leading countries on the alliance's eastern edge to feel threatened, the mood in NATO's Brussels headquarters has changed dramatically. Senior officers within NATO are demanding internally that the readiness of Western ground troops and air forces be increased. Currently, it would take 180 days for the requisite forces to be moved into place ahead of any operation. That time lag, argue military leaders, needs to be shortened, a proposition that would also affect up to 10,000 German troops. In addition, say military leaders, tank units should be strengthened and munition depots filled. Polish Foreign Minister Radosław Sikorski even proposed stationing two NATO brigades, up to 10,000 troops, in his country. That, however, would require the construction of barracks, depots, and equipment storage facilities to house them. The Chancellery in Berlin is wary of such proposals. Quote, "We shouldn't give the Russians any cause for accusing us of breaching treaties," the officials there say. In 1997, NATO committed itself to refrain from stationing large numbers of troops in former Warsaw Pact member states. Doing so now would be a provocation of a new dimension, Joel adds, as if Putin's moves weren't provocative. Continuing the quote, "As such, Foreign Minister Steinmeier is focusing exclusively on diplomacy. His ministry is currently developing an action plan for Ukraine, which is to elucidate all of Berlin's support for the new Ukrainian government. All of the ministries involved in that support are taking part in creating the action plan," the foreign ministry says, "but the Ministry of Defense is not one of them." Joel says, "And look at the slow, timid moves NATO is making militarily. No Russian planner is going to shudder at this." Quote, this still is still from Der Spiegel. NATO has asked alliance members to make additional contributions over and above the already agreed to increase to air policing sorties and AWACS surveillance flights. Proposals are to be submitted to NATO headquarters by mid-April. Von der Leyen is likely to propose joint military maneuvers involving Germany, Poland, and the Baltic states. A NATO maneuver planned for 2015 in southern Europe could also be moved up and shifted to the east. But the minister has rejected sending heavy equipment or troops for an extended period. Poland, for its part, would like to see even more shows of NATO solidarity. Not to put too fine a point on it, Poland is afraid of Russia, as are its Baltic neighbors. Some of that fear stems from the Soviet era, but Russia's recent show of power on Ukraine's eastern border, and Putin's evident refusal to withdraw forces, as he recently promised, has also raised concern in Warsaw. The West long snickered at the dilapidated state of Russia's military. Joel says, actually, military intelligence has always been aware of both the level of cheating in Russia on arms treaties and the continuing military buildup, but they were politically silenced from saying so. Continuing the quote, but it has since been dramatically modernized, and analysts in Western armies and intelligence services are concerned about the capabilities Russia has put on display in recent maneuvers. Operation Sapod 2013 is a particularly stark example. Sapod is the Russian word for West, and the exercise could certainly be understood as a threat pointed in that direction. Officially, fewer than 13,000 soldiers took part in the exercise, falling below the threshold that would have required observation by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE. But part of the exercise took place in Kaliningrad, the Russian enclave on the Baltic Sea that shares borders with Poland and Lithuania. Special forces were involved, as were officers from the FSB, Russia's domestic intelligence agency. In total, Western military leaders estimate some 60,000 people took part in the maneuver, one which even interfered with a NATO radar facility in the Baltic. The Russian military also fired a short-range Iskander missile. It was armed with nothing more than a practice warhead, but drills for arming such missiles with nuclear warheads were also apparently carried out. Nobody doubts today that Russia would be able to overrun and occupy eastern Ukraine. The German government believes that preventing such an eventuality is the task of diplomacy. In any case, the erstwhile Western military deterrent has been weakened considerably. End quote. Neither the U.S. nor NATO is warning of war with Russia, Joel says. But even if they did, it would still confirm my predictions that our leaders would never acknowledge the Russian or Chinese threat until it was too late to stop. It's already too late. While top leaders in Europe are once again talking, quote-unquote, deterrence, this coming war will not be deterred. So this is wasted breath. War is coming sooner rather than later, I'm afraid, and although I'm still convinced this current crisis won't be the real trigger, instead it's the beginning of a long push to exacerbate tensions in the former Soviet states and justify eventual military action. Der Spiegel also notes an example of the blindness of European leaders. Quote, Volker Kauder, the head of the parliamentary group for Merkel's conservative Christian Democrats, opposes such ideas of remilitarization. The current situation with the Crimean crisis has absolutely zero influence on the Bundeswehr's defense project, he claims. So far, that's an opinion that has been shared by Defense Minister von der Leyen. Joel says, talk about blind. Part of the problem in getting the Germans to spurn Russian energy and trade ties is the growing hostility toward America, as well as German dependence on Russian fuel and natural gas. After the NSA spying scandal broke, the German Interior Minister said, quote, the USA is operating without any kind of boundaries, end quote. He also mentioned that, quote, approval ratings for Americans in German polls are lower right now than they have been in a long time. The last time this was the case was during a certain phase of the policies of George W. Bush, end quote. Der Spiegel said that Germany is pulling closer to Russia out of its own self-interest and disgust with the U.S. We are so used to thinking of Germany as allied with the U.S. against Russia. This may be hard for most Americans to conceive, but this is how alliances change, with the first step, end quote. We have to also keep in mind that many of Germany's high politicians, including Angela Merkel, were communists from former East Germany, and no one can ever be sure where their ultimate allegiance lies. There is also a lot of closet Marxists in German media and education, all gleefully waiting for the resurgence of Soviet power to show the U.S. a lesson. Keep in mind that German people in general have been subjected to a barrage of socialist public education since the war, and surveys reflect this soft German thinking among the baby boomers. This from Der Spiegel. Quote, a recent survey conducted by pollster Infotest DIMAP showed that almost half of all Germans want the country to adopt the middle ground between Russia and the West. In the states that belong to the former East Germany, twice as many people as in Western German states believe that Germany should adopt a special role. But even in the Western states, there is only a narrow majority which believes Germany should stand firmly on the side of NATO and the EU in the conflict with Russia. It's fair to say that when it comes to the question of its affiliation with the West, Germany is a divided land, end quote. Joel says, they're going to learn the hard way, as will America, about how naive they all were about buying into the post-Soviet peace agenda. Meanwhile, NATO is only helping justify more Russian intervention by continuing to hold out NATO membership for Ukraine. The current president of the EU, former Danish Prime Minister Anders Fogh Rasmussen, published an op-ed in the German daily Die Welt saying that the path to NATO membership was fundamentally open to Ukraine. While I agree with the sentiment that any sovereign nation has the right to choose, NATO membership for Ukraine is not, in fact, on the table right now, and it would be unwise to do so given the fact that the majority of voters in Ukraine are pro-Russian. That's why Yanukovych won the last election. Further dividing Ukraine along partisan lines by offering NATO membership will only justify the need for people to rebel in eastern Ukraine. Despite my continued efforts in print and radio interviews to portray this Ukraine coup correctly as a Russian-driven coup, I find myself in a running battle with other anti-globalist commentators and writers who are so consumed with attacking the globalists, and they insist on portraying Russia as the victims of globalist intrigue. Nothing could be further from the truth. Putin has given orders to special operatives in eastern Ukraine to organize these protests and gain access to automatic weapons so protesters can be armed, and not just with a few old hunting rifles, as the pro-liberty protests did in Kiev. While I'm sure that most of the pro-Russian protesters are legitimate, not paid but stupidly naive about Russia, there are paid stooges directing the tactical scene. Yes, it is also true that the pro-EU protests in western Ukraine were managed but not just by the West. The Russians also wanted the appearance of a breakaway Ukraine to justify their intervention. In fact, they not only planned for the final coup against Yanukovych, but made it happen in the final hours when they gave orders to the riot police to stay in their barracks and let the protesters take over all the government buildings.
Hold off, Andrew.
Who simply could not have happened without.
We're going to a break, but ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that the people who run the world want another major report. Not a matter of it, but we'll be right back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, Certified Master Herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free New Vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Empire Irrigation in Greeley reminds you to salute the fighting men and women of the United States military. Let's make sure they know how much we appreciate them for putting their lives on the line. Our support can truly make a difference for our American heroes. This message is from Empire Irrigation at 2303 2nd Avenue in Greeley. Call them at 352-4000. That's 352-4000. They're proud to honor Staff Sergeant Thad Harvey for his service and for his dedication.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, who's giving us, of course, the views of his dad from the World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Andrew, will you tell our listeners how, if they're interested, how they could get in touch with your dad? They could subscribe to his newsletter, World Affairs Brief, and they could get his books on strategic relocation, certainly building a secure home. But you get that information.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Dr. Stan. They can start by going to worldaffairsbrief.com. That's one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. And at that website, they can easily log on and make an account to get added to the subscriber list for the World Affairs Brief. And then the World Affairs Brief would come to their inbox each week. They can also find, once they've signed up for the brief, they can gain access to all of the archives there on worldaffairsbrief.com, as well as today's current brief. if they would like to get just a sample brief from a one-time sample, free sample from Joel, they can email him at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com and ask for a free sample brief. Also on worldaffairsbrief.com, they will find a link to our other website, joelskousen.com. And if they log on there, they can, or if they go to that website, they can see all of Joel's current works, the most popular of which is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. This book outlines all of the threats that we foresee facing us and then highlights some of the safer areas in the U.S. that we think will be a little bit more protected from future threats during hard times. Once people find a secure retreat location, they will probably want to get one of Joel's other two books, which are The Secure Home. This is a large book that highlights how to reinforce and secure a house, whether you're doing a new project or a remodel. People want just create a secure room in a single spot, preferably in a basement. They should get our smaller book, The High Security Shelter, how to implement a multi-purpose safe room in the home. And all of those, like I say, are available on joelskousen.com, but if people want to call and order those, they can get those through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. The books are important. Make your plans accordingly. Ladies and gentlemen, very, very difficult times lie ahead. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Many otherwise intelligent conservatives don't understand the sophistication of Hegelian dialectics, Joel is saying, and don't see that both Russia and the West have motives to make this appear as a Western coup in the Ukraine. But both want a world war for very different reasons. And that's why the controlled Western media is covering for both this phony Russian-directed coup as well as the phony fall of the Soviet Union. The globalist media want Russia to be able to get away with whatever it needs to do to gain strength and the justification to go to build up animosity toward the West. The West is accommodating by constantly bullying and intervening around the world. This Russian ploy in the Ukraine has put that country into a permanent state of disarray and made the government to appear illegitimate, which helps the Russians to create tensions in the East. And believe me, just like in Russian elections, Moscow controls the Western Ukraine opposition as they do all major parties in Russia, even those on the quote-unquote right. They have always controlled the major opposition party leaders in Western Ukraine, such as Yulia Tymoshenko, who is trying to regain the presidency now. The Russians have been promoting the story that the West has sent in 150 mercenaries, supposedly from Greystone, an offshoot of Blackwater, into eastern Ukraine and dress them up as Ukrainian soldiers. Secretary of State John Kerry calls this quote-unquote rubbish. And for once, I think he is telling the truth, Joel said. The Russian press has not presented one shred of evidence to back up their claim. Besides, you can't send foreign mercenaries into Ukraine and expect them to tangle with protesters and not be recognized as Americans or detected as foreigners because of their lack of language skills. Even American special forces trained in Russian can't pass as native speakers. They would always be detected by the locals. The voice of Russia is pouring on the propaganda about mercenaries to gin up fears of a massacre among the pro-Russians in eastern Ukraine. The story is always accompanied by the worn-out claim that these mercenaries are, quote, financed by Ukrainian oligarchs and organized in coordination with the U.S. State Department, end quote. But oligarchs in Ukraine, as in Russia, are allowed to rise because of insider connections with the pro-Russian establishment. Even if oligarchs were involved, they would be working for Russia, not a free Ukraine. Clearly, the current conflict is going to quickly make Ukraine a basket case economically. Putin has raised gas prices 80% for Ukraine and is claiming to be cutting off imports from Ukraine to Russia, its largest trading partner. But it is only a selective cutoff. Russia can't do without Ukraine's grain, nor its military parts supplier. A lot of Russia's high-tech aviation and military parts come from Ukrainian factories. But other non-strategic commerce would be squeezed in order to create a clamor for the Ukraine government to give in to Russian demands in order to restore trade. While I don't think this is going to amount to World War III yet, it's probably going to advance to a certain point and then stalemate for a while Russia and China get ready to take on the West. Let's look at the various possibilities and the consequences of each. The first possibility. Ukraine exceeds the demands for a referendum and the vote goes in favor of joining Russia or forming an independent state. Ukraine would certainly not recognize independence, but may counter with an offer of a semi-autonomous regional status. That would be rejected and protests would continue. Second option. Ukraine refuses to accept a referendum and cracks down with force to remove protesters from the building. If Russia does not intervene militarily, there will be more protests for a long time and lots of future opportunities for Russian intervention if there is bloodshed. Third option. Ukraine cracks down on protests and Russia intervenes to restore order, holds a referendum just like in Crimea, and annexes eastern Ukraine. The U.S. and NATO are in no position to stop it, so it becomes the new status quo and the country is reluctantly divided, but the West never accepts it as legitimate. Thus, it becomes a constant source of future tension and no further accommodations with Russia are possible, including more disarmament. Any way it comes down, I think the crisis will stalemate at some point in favor of Russia. But won't keep progressing toward a world war until other factors are in place in both Russia and China. This leads to the next story in the brief, which is that U.S. continues disarming in the face of Russian aggression. The Defense Department just announced its intent to remove 50 additional Minuteman missiles from their silos at three bases. They claim the empty silos will remain in warm status, meaning that they can be reloaded if needed. However, the U.S. isn't building any more missiles, and they will be using up these missiles and tests over time. Their storage locations will be known to the Russians and thus can easily be destroyed if they still exist when war comes. The Wall Street Journal reported on the fact that our government
Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I fear the next war will be in fear war as well.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, Certified Master Herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free new vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Well, Dr. Stan here. I'm back for the last session this morning with Andrew Skousen. Andrew, go ahead, pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, Well, the Wall Street Journal is reporting on the fact that a government has finally acknowledged that the Russians violated the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which bans the testing, production, and possession of nuclear missiles with a range between 310 and 3,400 miles. Quote, the Russia has tested at least three missiles, the R-500 cruise missile, the RS-26 ballistic missile, and the Iskander-M semi-ballistic missile that ran afoul of the proscribed range limit, Joel says. But rather than use this as an excuse to stop further U.S. compliance with these treaties, the U.S. continues to disarm unilaterally. As I reported earlier in the World Affairs Brief, Russia has increased its counted deployed strategic nuclear forces over the past 6 months, while at the same time America's stockpile of warheads and launchers has declined. As the Wall Street Journal further reports, Obama has dismissed Russia as a regional power, and he is maneuvering the U.S. closer to a position of absolute nuclear inferiority to Russia. Quote, Russia has seized Crimea and has 50,000 troops as a potential invasion force on the border with eastern Ukraine. The Kremlin is also abrogating the 1994 Budapest Memorandum, in which Kiev agreed to give up its nuclear arsenal, at the time the third largest in the world, in exchange for guarantees of its territorial integrity from Russia, the U.S., and U.K. That memorandum has now proved to be as much of a scrap of paper to the Kremlin as Belgium's neutrality was to Berlin in the summer of 1914. The Kremlin is also violating the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which bans the testing, production, and possession of nuclear missiles with a range between 310 and 3,400 miles. Russia has tested at least three missiles, the R-500 cruise missile, the RS-26 ballistic missile, and the Iskander-M semi-ballistic missile that ran afoul of the proscribed range limit. The Obama administration has suspected for years that Vladimir Putin was violating the INF treaty, which supporters hail as the triumph of arms control. The Russians were boasting of their new missile capabilities in open-source literature as far back as 2007. Yet as defense analysts Keith Payne and Mark Schneider noted in these pages in February, since 2009, the current administration's unclassified arms control compliance reports to Congress have been mum on the Russian INF treaty noncompliance. At a minimum, Congress should call on Rose Gottemuller, confirmed last month as Undersecretary of State for Arms Control over strenuous objections from Florida Senator Marco Rubio, to explain what the administration knew and what it disclosed about Moscow's INF violations when she negotiated New START. Joel inserts, the U.S. has always refused to publicize or acknowledge Russian treaty violations. Continuing the Wall Street Journal quote, Mrs. Gottemuller has been publicly noncommittal on this point, perhaps because she knew New START would never have won a two-thirds Senate majority if Russia's INF cheating had been widely known. The episode reminds us of why people like former Arizona Senator John Kyle were right to oppose the ratification of New START. Mr. Obama has dismissed Russia as a regional power, but he is maneuvering the U.S. closer to a position of absolute nuclear inferiority to Russia. This imbalance became even worse when one counts tactical nuclear weapons, where Russia has a 4-to-1 numerical advantage over the U.S. To the surprise of defense analysts, the Pentagon will make the sharpest cuts in the submarine and bomber legs of the nuclear triad, while mostly preserving the silo-based Minuteman ICBMs. This means that the U.S. will maintain a stationary and vulnerable nuclear force on the ground, while largely dismantling what remains of our second strike capability at sea and in the air. A crucial part of deterrence is convincing an adversary that you can survive a first strike. It does not help U.S. security to dismantle the most survivable part of the U.S. arsenal. End quote. Joel says, this is even more pernicious when you factor in PDD 60, the Presidential Decision Directive from 1997, that directed our missile forces to not rely on launch on warning, but to prepare to retaliate after absorbing a nuclear first strike. That dumb nuclear doctrine is still in force and has never been repealed, even by that nominal Republican president, George W. Bush. The first strike would wipe out all of our silos if they were not allowed to launch on warning. And though our missileers still believe they are going to get the order to launch on warning, I'm betting that order will never come. Without the command codes from the White House, they can't launch. By cutting the rest of our strategic nuclear triad, we make sure the impact of that first strike cannot be recovered from. And don't forget that in 1998, Clinton agreed to keep 50% of our missile subs in port to make sure they were more vulnerable, to assure Russia that we pose no threat to it. The Wall Street Journal concludes, quote, "It's fashionable in the West to dismiss this as Cold War thinking, but it appears that Vladimir Putin hasn't given up on such thinking, or he wouldn't be investing in new nuclear delivery systems. Cold War or no, recent events are providing daily reminders that the great power rivalries of previous centuries are far from over. They have also offered the grim lesson that nations that forsake the nuclear deterrent, as Ukraine did, do so at considerable peril. After the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan in 1979, the Senate refused to ratify Jimmy Carter's SALT II treaty. Any serious response to Russia's aggression in Ukraine should include a formal and public U.S. démarche about Russian cheating on the INF treaty, while promising to withdraw from New START if the cheating continues. Nuclear arsenals aside, the timing of Mr. Obama's nuclear dismantling couldn't be worse as Mr. Putin contemplates his next move in Ukraine and sizes up a possible Western response," end quote. Well, in other news, there's NSA exploitation of Internet security. Wired.com correctly suspects that the NSA has been using the Heartbleed bug that was reported this week as an Internet peephole. In fact, it may well be that they discovered it early. After all, the NSA hires the best of the world's hackers and turns them against their own people, against the U.S. people. This from Wired.com, quote, "Since the Heartbleed bug has existed for 2 years, it raises obvious questions about whether the NSA or other spy agencies were exploiting it before its discovery. This week, that caveat hit home in a big way. When researchers revealed Heartbleed, a 2-year-old security hole involving the OpenSSL software, many websites use to encrypt traffic. The vulnerability doesn't lie in the encryption itself, but in how the encrypted connection between a website and your computer is handled.
Andrew, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're at the end of the program. God bless you. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Fair.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592, just like that.
Breast cancer is many women's worst fear, but experts have made great progress in treating cancer. If it is found early, breast cancer can often be cured. Self-exams and annual mammograms are the key. Schedule yours today. This important reminder is a tribute to Vay Nelson, a 7-year survivor at Johnson Box Company at 5203 Federal Boulevard in Denver, serving Denver since 1952. Call 303-477-0909, where Roxanne and the staff say, let's not forget all the area's mothers standing strong in a fight for a cure. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, and we live in a wonderful utopian world. Most people cannot imagine that another major war is coming.
what it is. If you believe in the Holy Scriptures, read Revelation 6:8, and then read Revelation 6:9 and 10, and you'll find that terrible, terrible times are coming. Is this simply abstract? Does it have any significance as far as what's going on today? I believe either the Bible is true or it's not, and I happen to believe it's true, and I believe another terrible, terrible war is coming. Why? Because the major purpose of American foreign policy is to bring about a one-world government. Why do you think we have troops stationed in 130 nations? Why do we have 1,000 foreign military bases? Why do we put out 40% of all the money that's spent for armaments in the world? The United States puts it out. Russia's preparing for war, and basically we are, I believe, working right along with them exactly as we financed the Nazis during World War II. After all, the Nazis never could have taken power in 1933 and plunged the world into war in 5 years without massive infusions of money from American banks, equipment from American factories. Who do you think built the various dive bombers, the planes, the trucks for the Germans that were used against us? Why, American factories, General Motors, AT&T, IBM, American banks were financing the Nazis. If you doubt that, you need to get my 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews, my interviews with John Loftus, who had a security clearance 3 levels above top secret. He had a chance to go through the files nobody else has ever gone through. Forget John Loftus's 2 books we carry, The Secret War Against the Jews and America's Nazi Secret. America's Nazi Secret, The Secret War Against the Jews, and the 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews. You need to have the information about what happened in the past to understand the events that are unfolding today, because they really don't make sense unless you understand history. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, if you want to understand Vietnam, we have several 4-CD sets on that. We financed the Russians, who financed the North Vietnamese, who financed the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys. We could have won the war in 6 weeks. I was personally told that by General Lew Walt, and you can hear my interview with him on A Marine General Speaks, the DVD we have. I also interviewed Ambassador William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos. Both of them told me we could have won the Vietnam War in 6 weeks. But you see, it was a great diversion to bring in the great society. Understand nothing as it appears to be, ladies and gentlemen. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the information. You need to help us get it out. And Sydney, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Because, of course, behind everything going on today, powerful spiritual forces. So get the information. Help us get the word out. But make your preparations, because difficult times lie ahead. And so, Sydney, you go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, you can read our newsletters. Sydney, you can listen to our radio programs there 4 hours a day live in addition to this program. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Until Monday at the same time, thank you. Bye. May the Lord be with you.